Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we have reached yet another end of a church year. This is the last Sunday of Pentecost, also known as Christ the King Sunday. The last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday, we'll start it all over again with the season of Advent. The green will turn to blue, the Lord willing, and in partnership with the Altar Guild. So I want to take this opportunity just to take a minute to point out a few of the milestones and blessings that we have celebrated over this last year. At the beginning of the year at Messiah, we celebrated 45 years of ministry here in this place. Our church has officially been sharing the gospel of Jesus in Charlotte since February 1980, when we were chartered. We didn't make a big deal because we're saving it all for 50, but we did point it out. I think one of my messages covered that. This year also marked the first new church plant, church start in almost 20 years in our Charlotte circuit. Life in Christ Lutheran Church in Gastonia started worshiping twice a month in April. And while the mission start is supported by our circuit pastors and churches around Charlotte, Messiah has taken the lead with our own Keith and Connie Clements being instrumental in keeping the momentum going for that new community of faith up north, and taken the lead on forming relationships in the Gaston area, including with the social services of Gaston County. If you haven't been keeping tabs, I think they created 100 care kits recently filled with anything that a person in need might need through the winter, like sleeping bags even. And of course, this year, we have watched the South parking lot be transformed to a new 10,000 square foot building to accommodate the future of ministry here at our church. All praises go to God and to the faithfulness of His people. To see how the Lord of the church has worked in this place to accomplish His mission for His purpose in His time, not just for us, but for future generations. A couple of other items to note. I was reflecting on Dave's testimony. Thank you, Dave, for sharing that. A couple months ago, we honored our Lutheran school teachers and church workers, and we highlighted church vocations. And as we did that, we also discovered that there are a few of our own young people who are considering or planning to go into church work. And we have a few adult members who are taking theological courses, and who knows where that might end up. And I haven't even mentioned the missionaries among us. Federwitz is over there. Yeah, I mean, you just keep coming and going, but we're always overjoyed to have you with us. All of this is a reminder of God's many blessings that we get to share in together, in our life together. God's blessings to His church and to His people. Because as the title of our message today, and as the Old Testament reaffirms for us, we are God's, how does he say it? Treasured possession. We're God's treasured possession. We are a treasure, not just Barrett, although Barrett, and all of us together. So it's important for us to stop at times like this, because this has been a very busy time for our church and for our leaders too. They have been working tirelessly to work on all the details. A building over here doesn't just happen, right? There's all kinds of details that go into it. So it has been a busy season. And if we forget to count our blessings in this life together that we share as a church, we might just miss them. And this is what happened with God's people at the end of the Old Testament. In many ways, the times we are living in today are much like what I imagine it felt like in the time of Malachi in our Old Testament passage. So I want to give you a little background here to start in order to help you see what God wanted his people to see back then and today. Little is actually known about the writer of Malachi, by the way, who is considered the last writing prophet before Jesus. Apart from Scripture, we don't have much solid information. We aren't even sure of his name, by the way. Malachi means messenger or angel, and it might just be an indication of the book's content, a message from the messenger, God's messenger. What is clear is that this final book of the Old Testament is meant to assure God's people that he still loves them, even after all that has happened throughout the whole Old Testament. In Malachi 3:17, the Lord says, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And I will spare them, as a man spares his son who serves him." To be God's people means to be his treasured possession. Not a slave who is forced to do his master's bidding, but a people, as we said last week, who are utterly free, subject to none, to requote Martin Luther. God sets us free from sin through his Son, because sin is slavery to another master, one who does not treasure us, but seeks to use us for his own evil ends, to lock us up and throw away the key so that we have no choice but to do his bidding. This would be hell. But thanks be to God that when he came into the world, his message to us was that he loves us and that he treasures us. And he sets us free in Christ. This was the message to God's people back then, and it is the same message today. This is the first similarity between us and the people of the Old Testament. We share the same message of God's faithfulness, because God doesn't change. His message doesn't change either. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The second similarity we have with the people of the Old Testament is that we share in the waiting. The people in Malachi were waiting for the Messiah. They would have to wait for another 400 years. But in the fullness of time, a baby was born to a virgin. And he would grow and teach and display his divine power. He would show mercy and gentleness and grace. And this Messiah would fulfill God's promise here in Malachi, that God would spare his people as a man spares his own son who serves him. Jesus, the Messiah, would be that son who served his Father's will perfectly for us on a cross between two thieves, offering his life for our sin. Even on the cross between two thieves, Jesus is making distinctions between the wicked and the righteous. And as they were waiting for the first coming, Back then, God's people today are waiting for His second coming, when He will restore the whole creation, including us, revealing to all the world exactly who He is, which we heard again in the words of Colossians, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By Him all things were created. Sound familiar? Who could He be? Right? He is before all things. In Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, us. Also, the firstborn from the dead in His glorious Easter resurrection. And in everything, He is preeminent. Greater than anything else that ever was, that we could ever conceive of. He is greater. And we are His treasured possession. So we share the same message, and we share in the waiting, and we also share in the journey. Think about it. By the time of this writing, the Old Testament people of God have been on a long and winding journey from the garden to the flood to the covenant of Abraham, then slavery in Egypt and the Exodus and the return to the land. And then the people turned away from God and lost the promised land again and were sent into exile to Babylon, just as the prophets had warned. But God was always faithful to His promise, and He was patient until they returned once again to Jerusalem. The journey of God's New Testament people is similar to the Old Testament. From Jerusalem to Judea, to Africa and Europe, to the Americas and Asia, to the end of the earth, wherever the gospel of Jesus has gone out, lives have been changed. From the fall of the Roman Empire to the Reformation to the Enlightenment, countless wars and plagues and famines, through trials and persecutions and doubts. Which brings me to the final way that we are similar to our Old Testament brothers and sisters in the faith. Doubt. Despite all God's faithfulness and countless blessings, the people of Malachi still doubted God's love for them. In the opening verses of Malachi, if you go back and look this week, they ask the Lord, "How have you loved us?" It's hard for us to imagine how the people of the Old Testament could ask this question after everything that God had done for them, even amid their own unfaithfulness and doubt. They should have been wiped out by Goliath and the armies of the nations around them, or by Pharaoh's army, or in the wilderness during the Exodus, but they weren't. God spared them again and again. And in Christ, God has spared us, because God is faithful. And in Christ, God has made a way for all mankind to be spared from God's wrath for sin. If we are honest, too many times and in too many ways, in our doubt, we have put God to the test. And yet God still loves us and protects us and provides for us, all for the sake of His Son, who came into this world 2,000 years ago, according to God's promise, and who is coming again by that same promise. People sometimes think that doubt is the opposite of faith, but it isn't. That's not true. Doubts are a natural companion of a people who walk by faith and not by sight. For a people who confess what Scripture says in Hebrews when it says faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is what carries us and convicts us of the truth of God's faithfulness and love, even when we cannot see it or feel it. The most precious thing, the most precious thing that you and I have in this world, our treasured possession, is faith in Jesus, which itself is a gift from God and a work of the Holy Spirit inside each one of us. Because doubts will come and doubts will go, but faith endures. This is why God invites his people to test him here in Malachi. Did you hear that? It might have sounded a little dissonant in our ears. Everyone knows we should not put the Lord our God to the test, but there is one exception here in Malachi. At the beginning of the reading today, God knows the doubts and the weaknesses of his people. He knows that because of their doubts, they have not worshiped and served God with their whole hearts, with their best. They have even held back their tithes and their offerings. God also knows that if they continue to run away from their commitment and their relationship with God, they will be cursed in verse 9. And yet God still loves them. He doesn't give up on them. He knows that his promise and his power are greater than their doubts and their weakness. So he says this in verse 10. Bring the full tithe, it's 10%, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I don't think God's people have ever fully stepped into this promise that God has made. But I have learned over the years that you cannot outgive God, not even close. And when God's people remember, we talked about it in the Bible class again today, remember his power and his faithfulness in Christ and return to the Lord our God their faithful gifts, a portion of all that God has given to us, there is nothing that we cannot do. With God, all things are possible. Like camels going through the eyes of needles and hearts being changed and people like you and me being saved. Brothers and sisters in Christ, by God's grace alone, you and I have been saved. Jesus Christ has accomplished what we could not do for ourselves. So in a few moments, we will have the opportunity to show our gratitude, to respond in faith to this precious gift of faith that we have been given. And by supporting this ministry, we also have an opportunity to help ensure that this gospel message continues to go out to the Charlotte area and beyond for the next generation and the next until the Messiah returns. And there will be no more doubt because Christ will bring us all home to be with him in paradise forever. To God alone be all the glory. Amen. And now may the peace which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.